Our scripture from Jeremiah says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant."
The scripture that Allie read is called the Call of Jeremiah. I'm going to get down a bunny trail and do something here that I didn't do upstairs because I didn't have the prompting to do it upstairs. But I want to give a brief testimony. It's very brief. I get asked over the course of my life, how did you get called into the ministry and what made you decide to be a pastor? And the early foundation of that got started with a lawyer in my home church of Waynesboro, Leroy Maxwell. And I've told that story, how I said, you could go into the ministry, young man. And I was just a little shaver when he said that. But how did I get called into the ministry and when did I get started? I have never told this story publicly, although I've told it to district boards and I've told it to search committees. But anyway, I was in ninth grade. And I'm remembering that the year was 1991. I was in ninth grade. And my passion in ninth grade was the Beatles. Still, they broke up in 70, but in 71, I was still a big Beatles fan. And James Taylor was coming on the horizon. And the thing that I wanted to do most of all was play guitar. And we had a young man in the Waynesboro congregation at that time, and he played guitar. He was cool. I mean, he was cool. His name was Tim Maughan. And he didn't know it, but I really looked up to Tim, probably because he played the guitar. But my parents liked his parents and respected his parents and his family. But then Tim Maughan did something. Was it in 71? Yeah. This cool guy did something that I thought was rather strange. And what he did was he answered the call to ministry and was licensed as a young man, I'm guessing probably 19, 20, 20, about that. And I thought, gee, if Tim, and I'd already been told you could be a minister. And I felt this nagging in my heart. And then this cool guy goes and he gives his life to Christ because Christ is calling him into the ministry and says, here am I, send me. And I have been asked, as I said, what called you into the ministry? And I said, well, there was this guy named Tim Maughan. But Tim Maughan is here today with his wife. And he gave his life to God and was a minister for a number of years, probably over 30, right? 44 years, yeah, and has settled back into Chambersburg. They're buying a home, moving into northern Guilford Hills. And he walked in the door today and he said, do you still remember me after all these years? Yeah, I remember you. And you are one of the reasons why I'm standing here today. And God used you as a tool. So anyway. And your wife's name is?
Jane.
Okay. Let's welcome them to worship. But I was reading in my spiritual formation Bible about the call to Jeremiah, And my spiritual formation Bible said, this is a story about the sword of God that says, I'm getting ready to revitalize, regenerate, renovate, reorient the entire world, and guess who's going to help me do that? And that's kind of how my call came about. I'm going to do all these things, and guess who's going to help me? And I said, no, not me. But then Tim came along, and I thought, well, if he did it, I guess I could think about it. Anyway, you've heard me say before, and you'll hear me say it again, that God definitely has something for us to do. Now, for some of us, like Jerry Moore, he's leaving for Puerto Rico tomorrow morning, early tomorrow morning on that jet plane, going to work with our brethren disaster relief for about 5 weeks. It's a big thing. It's a big deal. Maybe what I've done is a big deal. I don't really think it's been a big deal, but maybe it's been a big deal. For most of us, like myself, it's a cup of water. Jesus says, you bring a cup of water. And when you bring a cup of water in my name and give honor to me, I do big things with it. And we talked about that last week. So anyway, God has something in mind for you to do. For I know the plans, says the Lord, Jeremiah 29:11. And Jeremiah found out what the plans were. But the thought that you're going to be called by a God who's going to renovate and revitalize and rejuvenate and reorient the entire world and you're going to help, that's a scary thought. That just is. But my sermon is about how God's grace is bigger than and greater than our resistance. It begins with the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. We talk about this being the book of Jeremiah. As if we have a whole book of Jeremiah's thoughts and ideas. But did you notice the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah? God spoke first. And this is really a book about God speaking, God's conversation with Jeremiah. And God really controls the conversation throughout the 40 years of his ministry. It doesn't begin with Jeremiah's ideas. It doesn't begin with his thoughts. It begins with God's thoughts. And you can write down this in your Bible if you want to. The word of God, the counsel of God, will always, always come as an unwelcome interruption or as a welcome intrusion, depending on your perspective. You know, word of God will always come as an interruption. The prophet Samuel was a boy. He was in church taking a nap. Actually, he was watching the light, and he was responsible for keeping the lamp lit, and he was sleeping. And he heard his voice, an audible, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, here, Lord, I am. That's not what he said at first. First, he didn't know what it was. Who's waking me up? But eventually he thought, you know, this could be something. And he said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I want to say to you, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're reading a Bible and you've got your head in a book and, you know, you're something pops out at you, or you're in a conversation with a friend, or you're having a random thought while you're driving the car. This God of mine, this God of ours, still breaks into our day-to-day lives and still interrupts our conversation. He still has something to say. And I want to tell you, when that happens, you have two choices, really. Randy, you can turn the radio up really loud if you're in the car and be disobedient, or you can shut up and listen and be obedient. And that's what Jeremiah chose to do. The word of the Lord came to him. He was receptive to what God was saying. Now, look at verse 5. And verse 5 talks about this personal relationship we have with God. And God says, I formed you in the womb, I chose you. That's the Hebrew words there. I formed you in the womb, and I chose you. Go down another little rabbit trail. But I think one of the most labor-intensive jobs of any church board I've ever served is calling other people to serve on church board. Getting people to serve on commissions and committees. It's not a fun job. And it ironically starts with a committee. And a committee gets together. And sits down with the directory of the church, the phone book of the church, and looks through names of people that they feel have a skill set to meet the job that's in hand. But really what I think they do is they sit down to find out who will say yes, who's most likely to say yes. You're shaking your head. I've never found that to be a helpful way of doing business, never. I've never felt a bit biblical. So you don't know this, but probably 15 years ago or so, I was called to be the moderator-elect of our district. And it was a call that I could only keep for about a month. And then I had to resign because we had a daughter who was pregnant and the family was in some times. But anyway, I was glad for this because one of my jobs as moderator-elect was to sit on the district-wide committee of people that get people to serve on district board. And I thought, I'm going to get to see how other churches do this. You know, I'm going to get to see how the district does this because my way is no good. I just thought it was a stupid way going through a directory and calling people in and saying, well, who's most likely to serve? So we had our first meeting, sat down with the big committee, and I was the newbie, and we had our prayer and we had our devotion. And then guess what they did? They brought this big cardboard box and they set it in the middle of the table and they opened it up. You know what was in that cardboard box? Do you know what was in it? Directories. Yeah, directories of all the churches in the district, and we were supposed to go through and not only see whose skill set was there, but who did we think would say yes? I thought, I can't believe this. The district's doing what I'm doing, and what I'm doing isn't any good. Why do I tell you that? Do you ever have to wonder how God decides who he's going to call and why he called you? Does God have a directory with various names of people? Huh? And say, I think this person will say yes. Does God match up our skill sets? If he does, the Bible says God called people who were too young, people who were too old, people who were too timid, and people who were not immoral, not moral, immoral people. And I think, well, he didn't do a very good job of it. How's God? He called me in ninth grade because of some guy that played a guitar. Not a very educated way of doing things, I dare say. You know, how does God decide? Personal experience. Personal experience. Psalm 139 says, he is acquainted with us. He is acquainted with all of our ways. Listen to the language here in this call of Jeremiah. I formed you. I chose you. I set you apart. I called you. I send you. I command you. And this is the best part. I am with you. I will be with you. I will have your back. I. God is up front and personal. The notes in my study Bible said, God is personal and knows so much of what's going to happen, knows everything that's going to happen, and he knows my hidden potential. He knows my hidden potential. He knew my hidden potential in ninth grade. Why would you call a guy to be a pastor in ninth grade? That's dumb. It's because God knew my hidden potential and knew where God was going to take me. And God knew Jeremiah from the get-go. He makes no mistakes, brothers and sisters. He knows what he's doing. And God said, this is the guy that's going to be my spokesperson. Now, it's interesting that when Jeremiah had his opportunity to speak, okay, the first words out of his mouth and his response was resistance. They were words of not humility. Well, they actually were humility. He was telling the truth. But they were words of resistance. Jeremiah says, God, I can't do this. I can't be your spokesperson. I'm too young. I looked that up in the Hebrew. I'm only a youth is what the literal translation is. And the translation means somebody who's still living at home, still living with his parents. People have asked me, how old was Jeremiah? I don't have a clue. But I know that he wasn't fully an adult because in his resistance, he said, I'm only a kid. Do you know that I got that call when I was in ninth grade, and then I served as a youth pastor. I went to seminary, and I served as a youth pastor. But I was only 32 years old when God gave me my first church. Now, to these guys back here, I mean, 32 sounds like an old man, but the truth of the matter is I was aware of how naive I was, how inexperienced I was. I felt so inept. I'd been to seminary, okay, I had had some training in a church. Well, what did I know about leading a church? Really? So when I had my call sermon and then the church talked about me, they sent me down to the basement. So I didn't hear what they were saying. And they could discuss me freely. And I said, God, come on, get me out of here. Make this a low vote, and I won't come. But it was a very good call. It was a strong call. And so God said, no, I know your hidden potential. I've known you since you were in the womb. I know what's going on. I know who I'm chosen. You're the guy, and you're going to do this. And so I started doing this. 2 weeks into it, I visited one of our senior members. She asked me to come out to the house, and I went out to the house. And I'm still feeling a wreck. And one of the things I noticed about this woman, I won't say her name because she does have a relative in this church, but at any rate, she shook. She was nervous, which I thought was strange because I was a kid. And she shook. And then she said what she wanted to tell me. And I already knew it. And I was praying to the good Lord nobody else would know it. You know what she told me? She says, you are awfully young to be a senior pastor. You are awfully young. And I felt like Jeremiah. Who am I to do this? I am only a kid. Listen, when God calls you, he doesn't care about your experience. He doesn't care about how strong you are, how smart you are, how talented you are, how you're one of these people that commands things and has it in a grasp. Look, if you could do all of that stuff, you don't need God. You can do it yourself. Your success relies on you. But God calls the inadequate so that he can put stuff into us. The word is equip us. God calls the inexperienced so that he can rescue us. Do you know what God does? I'll tell you what God does. I'll tell you what he did me. He makes you hungry and keeps you hungry so that you need him and your success relies on him. Paul David Tripp is a celebrated Christian writer. And I'm reading a devotional book that's written by Tripp right now. And this was, I'd already written the worship. I'd already picked my theme. I knew because Allie's coming up here, I wanted to talk about the call of Jeremiah. And then I had this devotional on Thursday before I sat down to write. And I want to read a little bit to you. Tripp says, throughout this amazing encounter with the Lord, Jeremiah does what we often do. Jeremiah does what we often do when we evaluate what the Lord has put on our plate. And he missed the most significant thing God does. He dismissed it. What did he dismiss? It's not the fact that the job was so big. It's not the fact that he didn't have talent. What he dismissed this life-giving fact is that the God of grace, who calls us to do things, will go too. We have one above who helps us with these things. I had a man in Gettysburg Church tell me. And I've never forgotten it. Don't say that you're only a youth. I have your back. I'm going with you to rescue you. Tripp says, clearly Jeremiah didn't understand his identity as a child of God. Because if you're a child of God, you are never alone. You can write this down, put it in your Bible. If God calls you to do something, whether it's a big thing, whether it's a cup of cold water, whether it's a great thing. If God says to you, I want you to make amends with somebody today. I want you to go out to their house. I want you to talk to them. Listen to me. You will not go alone. And God will go with you. Wherever God sends, God goes too. God's grace is simply bigger than our excuses. And I wrote this down in the margin of my Bible here in this call. I opened up one of my Bibles and apparently I studied it at some point. And this is what I wrote down. God argues more persuasively than we can resist. And God equips us. He argues more persuasively than our resistance. And here's what I put. In his conversation, he erases and he eradicates any need for further discussion. I couldn't believe that. There's no point in discussing any further. That's the thing that I don't like about God, because you never have an opportunity to argue with him. Oh, you can argue. But God's going to win. Why? Because he already sees your hidden potential. He knows where you are. He knows where you're going. We have somebody like Tim on who has said yes to a special call. At first she resisted, and then she said, okay, I'll give this a try. And she started seminary. I think she started twice. You did. And now she is in seminary, and she will be licensed eventually to the ministry. And her seminary training and equipping of her said, now this is what we want you to do. We want you to intern in a church. We want you to have experience. We want you to serve among a church leadership team. We want you to serve among a church staff. And get the feel for this and use your gifts a little bit and see if this is something really God has planned for you. And so Allie came to me, Allie Toms, our bass player, came to me about, 6 months or so ago. And she said, I would like very much to be an intern in this church. I feel led to do that for my school year, if you'll have me. And we talked about it, and we said, we'll have you. So tell them what you're going to do.
So for part of our ministry formation, we have to do 400 hours across 8 months, roughly, give or take. And so it ends up being about 12 to 15 hours a week. And part of my 12 to 15 hours a week is going to be attending staff meeting and doing some of that, getting that feel. I'm going to be starting and leading small groups, which we have one coming up. So this is my shameless plug that I'm putting in for the Ladies Bible Study that will start October 11th. One of the other things that I'll have the opportunity to do is I will have occasional times that I'll be preaching, one of them being October 28th, helping with some special services. So I'm also helping with Love Feast. So getting some of those opportunities. And then something else that I'm doing that is kind of more of a little different, but I'm also now managing the church's Facebook page. So trying to get a little bit more connection going on there. So variety of things, and also then mine that is one of my growing edges, is visitation. I will be doing some different times of visitation to gain some experience there.
Allie wanted to talk to somebody in the church, wanted to ask them if they'd help with a ministry, and I said, you can call, but it would be better if you go. So she made an appointment, and I'm not going to tell you who it is. She said, can I come out and see you? Yeah. And this person called her best friend and said, why is Allie Toms coming out to see me? What I do? But I tell Allie she needs to learn a little bit how to visit. So you might get a call from Allie, and she might come out and just chit-chat. And that's okay. That's okay. I want to do two more things before we install you and consecrate you, and that is you are a teacher on a college level. Tell them that you're still teaching and where you're teaching. Well, I had somebody ask me that. Yeah.
I teach psychology as an adjunct instructor, adjunct professor. I teach this semester. I am teaching psychology at Penn State Mon Alto and Wilson College, and then I'm an academic advisor at Shippensburg University.
Absolutely.
So I'm still involved in all three of the local colleges.
Still planning worship. Still helping with leading the praise team that we do here. And I was thinking something else. Somebody asked me about you, and I can't remember what it is right now. But you got a full plate.
I do, because I'm still taking. I have an additional class on top of.
That's
the
internship what it was.
That
is she still? Yes, you're taking seminary classes.
I have one more class on top of this one.
She ain't busy.
Not at all. I've got plenty of time.
No, it's a piece of cake. We did it. She can do it. Okay, what we're going to do, let me get rid of this, because eventually I'm going to ask you to come up and pray and put your hands on her and lay hands on her, the sign of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to lift her up, let her stand on our shoulders and pray over her. But Allie, I have a few questions I want to give you. We did this upstairs, but I think it's more significant here, and the reason it is because you're actually recognized as a leader here. And this is your place. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, oops, I lost my place. But I've got it. God has laid on you an urgency of to do this special internship. You have responded with, "Here I am, God, send me." Is it your desire now to consecrate yourself for this task that you've committed your life for this period of time? And if it is, say, "It is."
It is.
All right. Will you prepare for, and this is what you and I didn't talk about, and I think it's so important, it's in the manual. Will you prepare for and support this call by the disciplines of Bible study, with prayer, with regular worship, so that God may speak to you and sustain you? If so, say, "I will."
I will.
All right. Will you seek to be creative, courageous, you'll need the courage, and cooperative in your work? And will you seek to be responsive, redemptive, and reconciling in your relationships? If so, say, "I will."
I will.
And will you, in all of this call, seek to live your life in such a way that both what you do and the way you do it will be a witness to the one who has sent you? And I want you to say, "With God's help, I will."
With God's help, I will.
Then I'd like to ask some of you, all of you, any of you to come up and put your hands on her, and we're going to pray over her. So would you come on up? Anybody that wants to, feels led, you come on up. And put your hands on Cody, her husband, because this is her call too, his call too. Oh, this is nice. Thank you. Oh, and we've got the kids coming. This is great. This is great. Anybody that wants to. Put a hand on Allie. Put a hand on each other. We're just laying on hands. Oh, look who's up here. We've got more kids coming up. Absolutely. You guys come on up. You bet. Dad's coming. Okay. We got a family, Lord, and you see them. We've got a husband. And I pray your blessing on Cody, and thank you for his partnership. You know, he's in agreement with this, and it's a good thing because it's his ministry too. We've got a mom and a dad. And they're the ones who probably through their example, definitely through their example, showed Allie a way. And not just a way, but that you're the way. And it was when she heard your voice and when she saw you, she said, "Okay, I'll try this. I'll do this. I want to be a part of this ministry." And I just pray that our congregation will, in fact, be open to her leadership, that we will show her what it's like to be church, that we will engage with her and let her ride on our shoulders so that she feels the support and the nurturing of a home church. And a home base, and a wonderful people. At the same time, Lord, I pray that you will use Allie's gifts and Cody's gifts, and you will bring to this table of family a ministry that is invigorating, changing, vital, reorienting, and that we will see what the Holy Spirit does. And I thank you, dear God, that we are this family surrounding her, and putting hands on her and helping her and praying Holy Spirit into her, because she's going to need the Holy Spirit to lead her and to make her in all things. Give her grace to fail. Give her courage to proceed. Give her strength to use her gifts. Show her your way. Give her your call. We pray in your name. And all God's people said, amen. Welcome, Allie. Welcome and be among us.